The church needs to be standing on the Word of God. So let's stand, hold your Bible, and let's sing "The Bible Stands," number 7. All the verses, number 7.
So precious to me. I praise Him because He appointed a place where someday through faith in His wonderful grace I know I shall see Him and I'll look on His face, for He is so precious.
Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to start at verse 20. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. Of course, the Lord's been talking about John the Baptist and his ministry. And John the Baptist, of course, was seeking to get Israel prepared for the Messiah to come. And they didn't fully receive the Messiah. And so the Lord would say that there's coming another Elijah just before his second coming to set up his kingdom. And he equated his ministry along with John's. And he said in verses 16 through 19 that they didn't receive John and they didn't receive me. John had one kind of a ministry. Jesus had another kind of a ministry. They were preaching the same thing, but they came a different way. And it ends verse 19 saying, but wisdom is justified of her children. Then verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Judgment now pronounced upon the unbelief of the people in the cities that Jesus had visited and preached. And he gives this judgment. Look at verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. These are cities that Jesus had visited and done many marvelous works and preached the truth to these cities. It continues on. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now, Tyre and Sidon were two cities that were judged. You can see in some of the prophets, they're even put out there. The burden of Tyre and the pronouncing of judgment against Tyre is done by the prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus is saying, if Chorazin and Bethsaida, if the things done in your city had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. You remember the book of Jonah? Jonah was supposed to go to the city of, what city was he to go to? Which one? Nineveh. Amen. Good to hear so many know it. He was sent to the city of Nineveh. He was sent to the city of Nineveh to preach repentance unto them. And to preach that the judgment of the Lord was going to come on this city if they don't get right with God. And of course he ran the other way. He ended up in the belly of the whale. He repented, got right with his God. And the whale spit him back out onto the dry land. And then he went to Nineveh and preached. And he preached through the whole city. And you know what happened? The whole city of Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes. Jonah, of course, sat outside the city waiting for the judgment of the Lord to fall on that city. And he was upset when the Lord didn't do it. Because see, it was a Gentile city, and he being a Jew would kind of find real joy in watching judgment upon those wicked Gentiles. And of course, the Lord provided a gourd and a protection from the sun beating down on him and everything. And then he caused that gourd and that protection to be destroyed by a worm that ate it. And then he was angry because of the gourd being destroyed. And then the Lord said, "Doest thou well to be angry because I took away the shade from the sun beating down, and yet you're upset with me for sparing the lives of the people in Nineveh who had repented in sackcloth and ashes?" And he even gave the number, I think it was over 200,000 children are in that city, Jonah. They don't even know their right hand from their left. And I've spared them all. And the book just ends, kind of leaves you trying to figure out what Jonah might have thought about that and going on. But it's a good show of the grace and mercy of God towards sinners. And here he pronounces judgment on these two cities that were around when he was here on earth, and he walked in their midst, healed people, made the blind to see, the lame to walk, and he preached the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, called upon them to repent. Not only did Jesus do that, but John the Baptist did that as well. And they didn't repent. Verse 22, or verse 23, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works had been done in thee, had been done in Sodom." You know, all we have to do is say that name of that town, and you know already, right away, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah. The abominable sin going on in there. Homosexuality activity going on there. For which God destroyed the city with fire and brimstone from heaven. Wasn't just a mistake, wasn't a volcanic eruption nearby, just coincidentally. No, that was judgment by God from heaven on that city. And that's in the Bible. And by the way, I believe it and still preach it. The Moravians don't. They've just decided to open up their membership and the ministry to the homosexual crowd that wants to be preachers and teachers in their church. That's the Moravians. Started by John Huss, who was burned at the stake for his unwillingness to go against what the Bible taught. Burned to the stake. That's where the Moravians came from. Oh, have they gotten far away from the truth of the Word of God? You know, I believe this doctrine, and it's not a doctrine that is talked about too much, and there might even be some disagreement among some on it, but I believe in degrees of punishment in hell. I believe that when it's all said and done, there are going to be degrees of punishment where it's going to be more tolerable for some than for others in the judgment day. Now, I don't know how that can be, and I'm not going to stand up here and say, I understand all the aspects of hell and hellfire, brimstone and torment and all that. I don't. I just know what the Bible says about it. I know it says it's fire, it's torments, it's dark, weeping, gnashing of teeth, and continued hatred for God forever and ever in a place called hell. I do believe it and I teach it. And how is it that that hell could be hotter or worse for some than for others? I don't know, but I know what the Lord says here, and I just have to say what the Lord said. Look at what verse 24 says. "But I say unto you," and he's talking to the city of Capernaum, "I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." That's coming out of the Lord's own mouth. Now, I know Sodom and Gomorrah got God so angry with their sin and wickedness and their abomination, He just destroyed the place in a moment of time. Burned it to a crisp. The whole city and cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities round about, it says. And you remember how Lot had to be dragged out of the city by the angels of God just to keep him from being destroyed with all the rest. And when he got out and his wife looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt. And he took his two daughters and they ran. They didn't even go to a nearby city. That's what he had asked previously. Well, would it be all right if we go to a nearby city and dwell there? When he saw the destruction, he didn't want to go to any city at that point. He fled for the mountains. God destroyed those cities that day. And yet they still have a date with God at Judgment Day. They've already been dealt with that way by God on earth. And yet it says that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. They still, all those people who died in Sodom and Gomorrah, still are going to be raised up from the dead and stand before God in judgment again. To then be cast into the lake of fire. And that's in the Bible. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's in the Bible. It's going to be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for Capernaum, who had the Lord Jesus Christ walking on its streets. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the Lord walking on its streets like Capernaum did, and like Chorazin did, and Bethsaida did. They didn't have the Lord Himself in a human body presenting Himself as the Messiah that He truly is and the rightful King of Israel that He truly is. They didn't have that. These cities did, and they rejected Him. The Lord said it's going to be more tolerable for those cities whom you all know who I'm talking about, more tolerable for them than for you. The whole subject in the Bible of Judgment Day is quite a teaching. I wonder, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Do you know the Lord as your Savior, or will He come for you as your judge? It's going to be either two ways, either as your Savior or as your judge. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You know, you don't have to be wise and prudent, doing everything just right. You don't have to be like that in order to know the truth. You don't have to have a big line of education behind you to understand the truth. In fact, the Lord is thanking the Father up in heaven, His own Father in heaven, for revealing the truths of the gospel of the kingdom. And then if we want to bring it up to today, the gospel of grace and salvation through faith in Christ, it comes to those who don't think of themselves so highly. If you think yourself to be better or more educated, and therefore I'm not going to listen to that preacher, I'm going to go to a more sophisticated ministry. I'm going to go where they, you know, put some credence into intelligence and degrees and so forth, because I have them, and I want to find a ministry that appeals to my flesh and my wisdom. No, there's no appealing of that with the gospel. And He says, I thank you that you have actually hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Another time the Lord put a child in His very midst, and He talked to the people and said, unless ye come as a little child, with the faith of a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom. Now, you can be sure there were a lot of religious rulers and Pharisees, Sadducees, well-educated religious men all around. Come as a little child. Why, I've spent all my years in school, and I've gotten a lot of education. I've got degrees behind me. Well, what is it? You mean we got to, you know, consider that as of no value? Amen! No value. No value. It's of no value. You got to come to the cross and realize just what you are. A sinner, condemned, in need of salvation. That's how you got to come. Sometimes the hardest thing to do when you're trying to lead someone to Christ, you know what the hardest thing to do is? To get them to admit that they are a sinner in need of salvation. They kind of put their defense shield up. You say, do you believe you're a sinner? Well, yeah, I believe I'm a sinner. Believe you're going to hell? Well, I don't know about that. I'm not any worse than somebody else. Yeah, the defense shields come up right away. There's no sense of leading a person like that through the sinner's prayer to say that they're accepting Jesus Christ. You might as well just stop right there until they are willing to admit, I am a sinner and need to be saved. And if I don't, I'm headed for judgment. Well, that's what you got to do. There's no sense of going any further with them. And the problem is, in a lot of our churches today, there's a big soul-winning, so-called emphasis going on, and we're getting people to, mentally assent to these things we're trying to tell them, and we kind of push them and sell Christ almost like as if it's a Madison Avenue marketing going on. We got to realize we're working and dealing with the souls of people that are either going to heaven forever or going to hell forever. And just a real clean, shiny presentation, real quick, bang, bang, you're saved kind of thing, is not going to do it for eternity. I thank you, Father, he says, O Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. You know, that's how you have to come. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. See, back up there it says, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. You just got to get a hold of this somehow, some way. Some people can't see. Oh, they have eyes to see. But they can't see. They cannot see the truth of the gospel. They got ears on both sides of their head, but they can't hear the gospel. That's why the Lord says a lot of times, and we already said it here, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when you think that you really do see, and you really do hear, when you really you're not listening to the gospel, because you're putting out your own self-righteousness, your religiosity, your Christian heritage. Well, my parents went to that church. They were baptized as babies. And my aunts and uncles are all buried in the church cemetery. Why, I must be okay. I'm part of that. You're not listening. You're not seeing. And you need to come like a babe that just is saying, tell me the story of Jesus. Make it simple. For me. And that's what we need to do. Make it simple. All things are delivered, verse 27, unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, I came to you and preached to you. And you're rejected. Oh boy. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. Is the Lord speaking to your heart today? How about if you're already saved? Say, yeah, preacher, I'm already saved. Do you remember the day you did get saved? You remember? Can you kind of go back into your life how it was when you first got saved? And you came to, you were starting to come to an understanding of who this Jesus is, what he did for me on the cross. You remember the, maybe some consternation going on, maybe some confusion, hard to figure it out. And then as the gospel kept being preached and you kept hearing the word of God, I'm the sinner for whom he died. He didn't have to die for his own sin. He was dying for me. And you start grabbing a hold of these pieces of information. And it finally starts making sense. Whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's what he does. And he works on you to get you to realize you have a need. And finally the day comes, it's almost like the light is turned on inside your mind and in your heart. Oh, it was for me he died. I need to personally receive this for myself. What a day that is. And if you're here today or you're listening on the internet to this and you are not saved, you've never come to Christ as a sinner, condemned, unable to save yourself. You've never saw it until now that Jesus died for you. Trust him today as your Savior. Let him save your soul. Look at verse 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me. What words? Come unto me. You know, I don't stand here and say, come unto me. None of you would stand here and say, come unto me. Hey, I can help you out. Maybe you could help me out for a gallon of gas or something, you know, or a place to stay or whatever. Well, what about eternity? Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, it's almost a contradiction here. Look at what he's saying in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. It's almost like as if he's going to say, I'll take that burden off of you. You're heavy laden with things. I'll give you rest. And then he turns around and puts a yoke on me. And a burden too. Now wait a minute, I thought the Lord was going to save me from that. Well, there's something about this that I guess you're just going to have to learn here. Jesus is the Savior, and he gives rest to sin-laden souls. And in its place, he puts a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. Matthew, you're there in Matthew. Go to chapter 23. The Lord is going to speak to the religious leaders of Israel and say something to them of what they're doing to the people whom he wants to give rest to. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Or in the place of Moses at the present time. Moses is long gone. These scribes and Pharisees sit in his place, teaching the people the law and all the requirements and everything. Verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, they had the teachings of Moses. They had the law of Moses, and all those things were right. God gave those things to Israel to do, that they might be a witness to the rest of the world, the holiness of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God. But these men were doing these things to be seen of men, not in order to be made right before God. And they put the heavy burden of tradition and all the things that they had added to Moses' law and so forth, and put it on people's backs and say, yeah, do this and do that and you'll be all right, you'll make it through. It's kind of like today. We've got preachers today who say, be as good as you can. Try to help old ladies across the street. That'll get you into heaven. Give to charity. Be as nice as you possibly can. Do good. Be better than the other guy. And somehow you'll make it. And you know what? These guys don't do it themselves. But what they do to be seen of men. That they appear to be righteous, but they're not on the inside. And those religious leaders can't help their followers one bit. And they won't help their followers by even putting one little finger under the load they put on them to help them at all. They can't help because they can't even help themselves, let alone to help you. But my Savior Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with all the traditions, restrictions, and the do's and the don'ts that you need in order to reach heaven, whatever that heaven may be. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, here's somebody who's going to help. Here's someone who not only put his finger, he's going to give you rest from all your burdens that you got. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the nation of Israel was down in Egypt under captivity, and they had heavy burdens to bear. God sent Moses to go down there to deliver them from their burdens. They had burdens. But you know, it's interesting that when he brought them out of Egypt, they still had burdens to bear. They had to carry everything. They had to carry their tent and everything and all their belongings. And in fact, they even spoiled the Egyptians on the way out, so they still had burdens. And they were under a yoke that God gave them, Moses, to lead them. But once they had come out, let me just ask you what you would think about them. Do you think they considered their burdens lighter after they came through the Red Sea or before they came through the Red Sea? Do you think they were even happy to bear their burdens now as they might have been happy before the Red Sea? Were they happy before the Red Sea? No. They were more like what Christ was saying here, heavy laden, labor, heavy laden. In fact, when Moses first came and told Pharaoh, let my people go, the Pharaoh made it even harder for them. And they really got angry with Moses for making it worse for them. Until finally, the Passover, which is a picture of salvation for you and for me. Do you remember the day you got saved? How has it been since then? Do you still have a yoke? Do you still have a burden to bear? Yes, you do. But is it easier than the one you had before you were saved? Now, some of you were saved when you were quite young, and it might be kind of hard to contrast that, what you were before and then after. You almost have to say, what would it have been like if I hadn't trusted Christ when I was a youngster? And what if I had gone through what a bunch of these people that I'm sitting around went through before they got saved? How about it? How about a life given to drug use? How about a life given to prostitution or whatever? What about a life living in a home where there's discord, there's no father? Now you have a father, a heavenly father, and you have a family called the Church of Jesus Christ. Now you've been delivered from those things. Would you say the burden is lighter now? Is the yoke easier now? I would say you ought to be saying that. There is work to be done. Those of you who've been saved, you have a yoke upon you. The Lord has put a yoke on you. And He has put a burden on you as well. And you're to walk in the way of the Lord with that burden of a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in opposition to the rest of the world. It's going to be a burden, but it's easy. It's not hard, because the Lord has already gone that way. And He says, follow me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want to take you to a passage of Scripture, and I'm going to read through this, say a few things about it, and I'm going to be done. Romans chapter 6, verse 18. This work is made easy because of the absence of the results of sin now in your life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. I want you to see something coming out in these verses 18 through the end of the chapter. And I want you to compare your new life in Christ now with the life you had before you came to Christ. The burdens and the heavy laden things that you had before Christ to the yoke and the burden that you have now in Christ. All right, Romans 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin. In other words, now that you're saved, sin no longer dominates you. You can now do things that please the Lord. You're free from sin's chains. Verse 19. But I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, and that's what it was like before you were saved. You were a servant to unrighteousness, uncleanness, iniquity unto iniquity. It was just like, well, what's the next thing I can do? Iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants. Notice the word servant. See, a yoke, a burden. You're now to be yielding yourself as servants, as a servant to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You didn't have any. You were lost. Now you have righteousness, which is really not your own, but Christ's righteousness on you. Continuing on, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Let me just ask you this. How many of you who got saved maybe later on in life, and you lived through some things that if we asked you to stand up and tell us all about it today, you'd say, oh no, Pastor. No, you don't want that. You don't want to hear about that. In fact, I'm ashamed of those things. I don't want to tell anybody what I did before I was saved. I don't want them to know. What fruit had ye then in those things? Was there anything good from that? Verse 22, but now being made free from sin, and that's the experience of salvation, okay? and become servants to God. There's your yoke and your burden that the Lord wants to put on you, okay? Made servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Isn't it good we can come to church here and sing some of the songs that talk about, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold someday. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. You know, I was saved when I was 11 years old. And I've been looking forward to going to heaven ever since. How about you? Since you've been saved, you looking forward to going to heaven? That's where I'm headed. That's the fruit that I now have with this yoke that's on my neck. It's not tight. It's not hard. My yoke is easy. He has you has a yoke around you, but he's not a hard driver. Yeah. Tighten that up, servant. Tighten that yoke around Gary's neck. He's not. No, it's easy. In fact, a lot of times I find myself saying, all right, Lord, where are we going today? Which way you want me to go? Oh, I feel the tugging going that way. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God's leading me that way. This is much easier than when I was under the rule and reign of sin and the devil was in charge. Because he doesn't care about you. What he wants to do is to take you and send you to hell. That's what he wants to do. And that's where sin will take you. Which would you rather have? I'll take his yoke that is easy. And the burden that is light. You know, sometimes he puts a burden on you. Sometimes we call it the cross. Bear your cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will make fun of you, mock you and everything, just like they did Jesus. All the way to the Calvary's hill, they mocked him and they put him on that cross. You're called to follow in the afflictions of Christ, it says. And bear your own cross. But you know what? It's light. It's light compared to what I had before. All I had before was the wages of sin is death. What I had before was hell looming out ahead of me. Lord, it's a privilege to bear this burden for you. And you've already gone this way, so I know I'm going to make it through too. And you've promised to be with me, never to leave me, nor forsake me. I'll follow you all the way through. How about it, Christian? Isn't it good to be saved? And don't you think that the people around you need what you have? They do. They need it. And we need to tell them about it. I would encourage you, be a witness for the Lord. Go out these doors and those doors when we go home today, and you shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, having said that, I'm done, okay? But I want to say this to you. I heard a message this week. Did you know that we had a super moon last night? They call it a super moon. Didn't it look beautiful? How many saw the moon last night? Raise your hand. You saw the moon last night. Those of you who don't look at the moon, you need to start doing stuff like that. All right? You need to. Well, I'm not into that. Yeah. Okay. Well, you get into that. That moon was beautiful last night. My wife and I walked around. We did our walk, and there it was. I had my glasses off, and then I had to put them back on. I wanted to look at it clearly. Boy, was it beautiful. But you know what? The astronauts who landed on that moon when they got out and put their feet down on that moon, all it was dust and rocks. And there's no beauty. But you get back away from that and let the sun shine on that and reflect it back. Ooh, look at that. Look at how beautiful that is. And that's exactly what Christ does to your life when you get saved. You're totally worthless. You're guilty of sin. You're like the moon, rocks, and dust. Nothing. You have nothing to glory in except in Christ. And the sun is like Jesus Christ. And his light shines on you and it reflects out to this world. And they can see a beauty like none other. And it's really not you. It's the beauty of Christ being seen in you. And this preacher also said this. And by the way, this preacher has been here before to preach to us. This preacher said, you know, there's something about the moon too. It has a dark side to it. And it doesn't want anybody to see it. Remember the Romans, it says, those things which you are now ashamed of. Yeah. The light doesn't hit the dark side of the moon. Isn't that a strange phenomenon out there in space? I have a dark side to me too. And I don't want you to know anything about it. I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. But I want you to know one thing. I got a bright side of me, which I do want you to know all about. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I want you to see it. That's the yoke that is easy and the burden that is light. I got a dark side to me, but I don't want anybody to see it. I don't tell anybody about those things. In fact, there's some of that stuff my wife doesn't even know about. And I don't know about her dark side either. And I don't want to know about that. None of yours either. I don't want to know. That's bad. Oh, I don't want anybody to see that. That moon is up there and it goes through its phases, you know. And then sometimes all you see is just a little bit of light, you know. I like it when that new moon, the full moon. Full moon comes out. There it is. Hey, look at me. Hey, Earth, look at me. Woohoo! I want you to see Christ in me, and you need to let Christ be seen in you too. Let's go out of here like a full moon, okay? A super moon. And shine with the reflective glory of the Lord. It's not your own shining, it's the reflection. That's all the moon does. Takes from the sun, says here, reflects it off of that. That's great. What a beautiful type of the child of God, saved through the Son of God, for the glory of the Father, and to be a witness to this dark world that needs the light of the gospel. May they see it through us. This is the way God's chosen to do it. Hey, come unto me. I'll give you a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light. The world needs to see you. So let's do it. Okay? All right. There you go. That's the lesson for today. I hope the Word of God is precious to you. I hope the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to you. Let's shine for the Lord today. Dear God in heaven, thank you for the time of fellowship together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what you did in our hearts and lives. Thank you for the day, just like back then you walked through those cities and preached the gospel of the kingdom. Thank you for the day someone came and told us about the gospel of salvation through faith alone in Christ. It's wonderful to be saved. And now we need to be your servants. Serve the Lord until we go to be with you in heaven. And while we do that, have that yoke on us and the burden of the testimony of the Lord, help us to shine for Christ. May we yield to his desire to shine through us to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you 6:30.